Welcome. I think we have a great show this week. It's all about Prism. It's one of the hottest topics out there, and deservedly so. It's pretty cool. This week, we interview Patterns and Practices team members David Hill and Bob Brumfield. I say we because Sean Wildermuth was also there. He asked a couple of questions, and he also answers a couple of questions.
Oftentimes, when we're writing Prism applications, we have to consider, is the presenter going to create the view, or is the view going to create the presenter, or is something else going to happen? So maybe we can talk a little bit about the relative trade-offs of each approach.
So, well, there's two things here. It's not always about who creates which, but which one you create first when you're when you're pulling one of these things up, right? So whether you create your presenter first and somehow, whether it's through a dependency injection container that gets a view, or less likely creates its own view, is one style of development. Lots of people believe that you should start with presenter first because that gives you some opportunities to hook up that presenter communication to other, say, presenters if they need to talk, or to controllers, or to other things, so that you can coordinate information among the presenters, because oftentimes it's a lot easier to do it once you have actual handles on presenters. And I would say the other view of view first, you create the view first, and then somehow the presenter, again, whether the view creates the presenter or whether it's through dependency injection that the presenter gets attached to a view, is the other style of approach. And that tends to be people who believe that the presenter presentation logic is largely implementation detail behind the view. And so those things become harder then to hook up presenter to presenter communication potentially, because you don't actually ever see the presenter underneath. So there's actually a third thing people call presenter first, which basically means I start development with the presenter and I write my unit test against presenter before I do anything else. And so there is a concept out there, we call it a development philosophy around presenter first, which is how we largely do it. We largely start by building our presenters. So just to, another thing to muddy the waters around these things. So I think those are the basic difference between the two, and some of it, you know, some things are easier view first, and some things are easier presenter first. View first, I think some levels of composition are easier because you can just say, hey, I wanted to put two views here, whereas I have to go to a presenter and then I have to somehow get to a UI element of some kind and then decide where to put that.
Well, let's talk about blendability, putting data in so we can actually see it in blend. Yeah, which one's going to help us out there?
Well, I think largely, I don't know that either of them help you more than the other. I think largely, if the presenters offer up, dummy data in a reasonable way to allow people to pull it up and blend so that they can actually click and drag binding and those type of things, I think that would be the most helpful. Whether that was presenter first or view first, I don't know if that's. I think it seems somewhat orthogonal to that discussion, possibly. So just to put another concept in here, that would just muddy the waters more. I think we can probably go further. I don't think we demonstrated this much, if at all, in Prism about how do you make it work a little bit better in Blend. I think our view models and our presentation models, could have offered up a little bit better dummy data for working in Blend, and so we could have made it easier to do some of that binding in Blend.
Yeah, that's something we might do in the next version of Prism to address that. But there is one thing. So I think with the presenter or the view model. The design of that and the design of the view is the same in either approach. Where this kind of comes in, so if you have a view and a view model and you wire them up statically, then you end up with a nice pattern where you can do separation, you can do unit testing against your presentation logic. But that doesn't really say anything about which you create first in a dynamic situation. So when you're in your application, you're navigating around and you're creating new forms, or you're going through a use case and you're doing things. So really this is where this kind of development philosophy comes in. Do you think about building your application from like the UI down and build it from controls, like, you know, maybe you did in the olden days with WinForms or with WebForms? Or do you think about the components that implement the presentation logic, the presenters and the view models first? If you think, you know, if you tend to think of building your application from those components and they have skins, then presenter first or view model first tends to be a more natural fit for you. But if you tend to think of building applications from pieces of UI, then view first tends to be more natural for you. But the design of each is the same in both cases. It's just how they come into being which is created first, and how they sometimes get hooked up is the only thing that changes.
Now, how they get hooked up. Sean, you have this idea. I call it marriage first.
Well, not marriage first, but just marriage. My epic view of it, I want the view model, since I'm talking about mostly Silverlight, the view model and the view to be ignorant of each other in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. Though the testing of views isn't very common or easy, I want it to still be possible, whether at most projects you do it or not. And so the way that in the Prism article that hopefully will be coming out in the next month or two, and in Mustang magazine, I talk about it as actually using the container to build both and then apply one to the other, which in most cases is mm-hmm. just applying it to the data context. Now, that does add blendability because you don't have these objects running at design time that were really meant for runtime. But luckily, Blend 3 solves that for us pretty nicely with their sample data functionality. Mm. So in a lot of cases, instead of building this view model to mock up data for you, which would work, I'm not a big fan of. I'd rather have the designer go, okay, I've been told the kind of data, or the reverse, I'm going to start with the view, them design the shapes of the data they need, mm-hmm. that can be communicated to the people who are actually doing the coding mm-hmm. to shape it back to them.
Right, because
instead of passing these giant objects that they're only using 3 fields on, which is a pretty common case.
Right, and it's a little awkward to be, you know, building the idea of test data actually into the application. Maybe.
Yeah, and what's interesting in that space is that designers don't want to really think about it in that sense. So mm-hmm. Even though you might be mocking up the views, in WPF and Silverlight, one of the challenges here with these kind of new models is that binding is a lot different than in any other stack mm-hmm. people have ever worked with. Until they come in, this idea of, you know, collections or objects that you bind once and then as they change, they naturally emote out to the view. Is something a lot of people have to get their head around. So they want to do all this stuff in the presenter or in the view view model to really say, okay, let me break it apart and let me rebind you these controls. And it's exactly what we don't want them to do. Why do you want the ignorance? You want to say, okay, I'm presenting, or my view model is exposing a list of games or whatever the data you're doing. And the fact that the view binds to it is, it's not a side effect of what makes it work, but you don't want this guy to ever know the control name or this guy to ever necessarily know the name of the view model in my world.
Thanks for listening. If you're interested in Silverlight 2 or Silverlight 3, go ahead and check out our website, silverbaylabs.org. That's our company where we do consulting and mentoring services for both Silverlight 2 and Silverlight 3. If you're interested in Silverlight training, see the Silverlight Tour, where I'm also an instructor.